traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
He was ecstatic with
it. He got to do it, though. Come on.
Scraped with a draw.
KSI, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, KSI.
Come on, dog. You got to do it, man.
You know you got to do it.
You ain't going to die. You know, go on there. Hey, if he dies, he dies.
I mean, what else? It's 8:45. We got a really important guest tonight, and we're going to worry about the fucking intro. Let's get right into this shit.
Nah, bro, but I just...
Now, fuck the intro.
All right, fuck it. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, subscribing. You know we love you. We do an audio-only Q&A with the guest after the visual is done, so big ups on the audio version on Spotify and iTunes. My boy Evan is filling in today.
Woo!
Roommate Evan, Dwarf Mama, because... Soy boy Spencer is...
He's training for a triathlon.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah. It's funny because he's soy boy as he is, he does triathlons.
No, yeah, he's...
Some boss shit. He,
Spencer is a fucking beast.
Yep.
Who else is a beast? Our guest today, possibly the most badass beast on planet Earth. Guys, I want to introduce our guest. He is a rapper. He is an actor and one of the baddest people walking on the planet. It's the number one welterweight fighter in the world, UFC champion Tyron Woodley.
T Woods.
We out here in these streets.
Let's go.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Yo.
What's up, G?
Good to see you, man. How you doing?
Great. Good to see you as well, brother. How you been?
I've been phenomenal. I'm thankful that you were able to make it in today. Your schedule's been fucking crazy today, right?
Crazy.
Press tour, right?
You know, it's a part of the game. I'm glad to get it out the way, you know, that Monday instead of like Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday, I'm cranky. Mm. I'm cutting weight. Mm. I want to fuck everybody up.
Yep.
And I'm not really trying to do no interview. So I wish I could. I told him today, I said, y'all should think about doing this 3 weeks before the fight because it's not going to be fight week. And I said, you know what? I think my opponent's going to beat my ass.
Yep.
No, I think I'm going to beat his ass the whole time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the same answers. So instead of bugging my weight cut and fucking with us all on Monday, the week of the fight, let's knock this out 3 weeks earlier. So they weren't really feeling it.
No, I feel that. No, but I'm glad we got you now, bro. And like you said, you're giving the same answers. The goal on Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world, is to switch it up a little bit.
I like this.
We're going to switch this shit up a lot.
Switch it up, bro. So yeah, you cutting right now?
I'm cutting right now. You know what? I'm in a good mood right now because I'm still pretty heavy. So when I leave here, I get a workout in, then I'll start descending down. One thing about me is I sweat a lot, which is a gift.
Yeah,
and a curse.
Me too, bro.
But I'm not that young anymore. So
how old are you right now?
I'm 36. So I gotta. I'm young. I'm young enough, and my body still feel good. But I gotta quit taking for granted the fact I know my ass and sweat a lot.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you get, especially winter time fights, it gets a cut time, and I'm like, damn, why the hell am I 190 right now?
Damn. And you're cutting to what, 170?
170, yeah.
What do you miss eating the most when you're cutting?
Shit, man, what don't I miss eating? You know, the thing about me is I miss drinking. Like, I complain about having to drink a gallon or 2 gallons of water a day. I complain about that because it's hard to do if you ever try to do it, like, consistently for, like, a month or two.
I thought you meant, like, alcohol.
I
get that.
You know what? Alcohol, gallon or two a day of that shit.
That's a lot of fucking booze.
Have you
That's
a lot of booze, stratosphere. But you know, like you start drinking all that water to just, you know, make your body hydrated. And then it come fight week. Now you realize you can't drink that much. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
I had all these weeks where I complained about this shit.
Little sips.
And I, you know, everything. Like I'm looking at that computer and I'm thinking if it melt right now.
I could drink it.
I could drink that and I'd probably be smart as hell too.
Yeah, bro. I bet like
so not, food don't get me.
Not to get too graphic, bro, but I bet your piss is like a disgusting color of yellow.
Not yet. Actually, I'm still heavy. Like
okay.
So I'm still clear. But tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, it'll look like, you know, colostomy bag being drained.
That's your boy?
It's my homie, LL.
You stay away from him when he's cutting? Bro, I know, like...
I'm an asshole. But I give the disclaimer, and I try to tell her, because because I'm not a small, like, I don't carry a lot of body fat anyway. Yeah. So for me to get from, like, I walk around 200 pounds, for me to get down to 170, like, you know, it don't look good. And I tell guys, I'm sorry. We know what this week about to be. I love you guys. Damn. We all go
bear with me.
Damn. Bear with me. If I say something out of the way, and I try my best, but it just gets to a point where, like, sometimes everything will fucking bother me.
30 fucking pounds.
And that's in 3 days?
No, I don't lose 30 in 3 days. But sometimes, the lightest I've been is I walked in a fight week 183. That's all summertime fights. What, like, when I fought Wonderboy in UFC 205 in New York, that was the most miserable shit ever. Like, I was in a sauna. I remember I fell asleep in the sauna. I woke up and I was like, damn, I was asleep.
Yo, that's like dangerous as fuck.
Dumbass.
2.5 hours later.
Guess what? I still was like, I lost like 0.2.
What the?
That's how bad it
is. Do you ever feel like
this is some bullshit?
Yeah. Like, yo, I'm not gonna do
Why
it.
Why am
bro?
I doing this again? Yeah. Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Hey, so what does keep you going?
You know what? I like to prove people wrong, and also, like, I like the challenge, man. You know, every time, it used to be the opponent. Like, I used to, Carlos Condit, you know, I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he was a dope welterweight, and I was a big fan of his. So when I got a chance to fight him, I got up for the fight. I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is a dude I watched, like, since WEC, and now I get to fight him. I can't just let him whoop my ass. Let me go out here and show him what I can do. So it's kind of proven to myself. Now it's to the point where all my opponents that I'm going to fight from this point on are going to be good, but they're trying to make a name off me. And the fighters that I fought before were better. So now I'm competing on having a better performance than I did my last fight. Not them. You know what I mean? I'm trying to top my last performance. And that's when the challenge really start to go to a different level.
I mean, your last performance was fucking sick.
I got to top that Saturday.
Darren Till, right?
Yeah, I got to top that Saturday.
What did you, you said something to him after the fight. You approached him in, backstage, yeah?
Yeah. You know, I just told him that, you know, Darren Till is probably my toughest matchup right now. You know, just because he was a big welterweight. He pops up quick if you take him down.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you saw I hit him a fuckload of times, and he took it, elbows, punches.
Yo, I looked up your stats. You got a 47% striking accuracy.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, 1 out of 2 punches lands.
Because in our game, you know, a lot of guys, you know, my opponent said, I close my eyes and swing. I'm like, how many fights have you watched? You fucked up. You watched the wrong person. That wasn't me. Yeah. But yeah, I see a shot and I get to it. And even when I'm throwing a shot, sometimes I throw a shot to kind of see how you react. I'm not trying to hit you. But when I'm trying to hit a motherfucker, you'll see. You'll see my eyes lock in on him. You'll see me get that quick. And, you know, Darren Till took that punishment, took those punches, and he really believed it. He believed he can beat me. And he actually had, you know, I say if someone can stop my shot or get back up and they can knock you down with one punch, then that person might make me butterfly a little bit. And he possessed those things. He was a huge welterweight. But I knew I had to put it on him early. Yeah. I had to put it on him, not ease up on the break. So if that guy did make me back down, I don't see what Usman or any other welterweight is going to do. They don't have that power. They don't have the ability to stop me from doing on what I do best.
I have some of your highlights here.
Hey.
I don't know if I'm allowed to show this shit. I don't know, like, fair use laws because the copyright.
Yeah, I think we're commenting.
If you show it quick.
Like 3 seconds?
One second.
I think it's like, 10 seconds, something like that. Get that shit out of here.
Bro, you're a fucking ass.
I need to start kicking more.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, yeah. Man.
That was that TKO right there.
That'll fuck him up.
That was a TKO right there.
By the way, this is the music that you hear before you die.
Yeah. It's like Michael Myers type shit.
That's hilarious.
But yo, just absolute fucking savagery.
Bro, I appreciate it, my man.
Yeah, bro.
But also a rapper. And also an actor.
We were talking, what don't you do?
You know what? This is the thing. You know, people, I said this earlier, they have this term, the Renaissance man, right?
Yeah.
Renaissance man is somebody that's good at a lot of things, but not great at anything. But that was that motherfucker. That was one person. That doesn't tell you to limit yourself and not to go out there and try to be an artist. If you're an artist, if you put a canvas in front of me and you tell me how to paint it, I'm going to have OCD like hell and I'm going to paint the shit out of it. If you tell me to go rap, you give me a concept and I'm going to go and write and I'm going to challenge myself, whether it's film, whether it's TV, whether it's commercial, whether it's hosting my show on TMZ, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to try to be the very best at it. And I just stopped a long time ago letting people put limits on me.
Yeah.
And you know, that's how you got to live life.
What do you think the sauce that you have that allows you to skip from genre to genre to vertical to vertical? Is it confidence? Is it like, what is it?
It's confidence, and it's me not being afraid to get the real, unreal, uncut truth. If my shit whack, tell me my shit whack.
Hell yeah.
And you know, I send my shit to 300 Atlantic Records or whoever, and I want them to give me the real stuff. And people that I, you know, surround myself around, whether it's film, acting, coaching, they'll let you know, like, hey, do it again. This is this. Your delivery's not good. And when you get that honest feedback, not just a whole bunch of people that want to make you feel good and tell you your shit sound good because they think you're going to beat their ass, but they really want you to
I don't
succeed.
Know why they would ever think that. You have a song quite literally titled, I'll Beat Your Ass.
Yeah, we had to get straight to the point. And, you know, speaking of I'll Beat Your Ass, obviously you can download that shit on iTunes.
Yo, check there it. Check it. Featuring Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah. I'll Beat Your Ass.
Is that your walkout song?
You know, I did walk out to that. I was going to walk out to it when I fought Till, because it was Wiz's birthday. He wanted to come out, walk out to the fight. And I was like, you know what? I want to be humble. I don't want to come out with I'll beat your ass. I want to beat some ass.
Yeah.
And then drop that shit in the octagon. Yeah. I thought that was way more savage. But I actually got a song that's a bonus track to my album called Fight. And the hook goes, when I walk in, I want the lights. Hear the crowd roar. Murder every single thing in my sight. Know what it's time for. If that don't make the hair stand on the back of your neck, you don't have blood in your veins. You got Kool-Aid. I'm a leak that track actually on Thursday, and I'm gonna walk out to a piece of it.
Oh, that's tight.
I'm gonna go.
How did that collab with Wiz come about?
You know what? I was actually in the studio and we had wrapped up our session like 3:00. And then somebody was pissing me off. And I was like, I wanna do a song and say, nigga, I'll beat your motherfucking ass. And then said,
yeah, that makes sense.
You're not gonna sell any of those records. and that title was, you know, kind of way out there. But he said, why don't we just do it like Chen, I'll beat your ass. Yeah. And it's 3 a.m. We done.
Yeah.
Like I'm checked out. So my homie T-Dub-O, the one that's on other half of Archangels for our album. So he started writing out this hook. And anytime his head goes down like this, he's like a fucking genius when it comes down to lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wrote this in like 2 minutes. So he said, let's do it like this. I beat your ass like a chant. And I started thinking like, whoop that trick, tear the club up, throw them bowls. I started thinking anthem. And I jokingly started saying all the random ass reasons why I beat somebody ass. I beat your ass because you got a tiger backpack. I beat your ass because you got a glass of water. Just random stuff. But I was joking. But he said, cut the beat on. He went in there and he did that hook. So I said, well, guys, look like we ain't packing it up. We about to do a track. So I wrote that out in 10 minutes and I listened to it. I'm like, it's a fucking hit.
Hey, we got something.
And I slid it to Wiz, and Wiz was like, I'm on that shit.
You already knew Wiz?
I knew Wiz. I was training with Wiz. I was training him, and we trained at the same gym. I met him 3 or 4 years back in St. Louis. And then some people you just click with.
Yeah.
And like he obviously has been at a level for a long time. I've been around celebrities and, you know, just doing this type of shit for so many years. I don't really get like too wooed over about anybody. So I treat everybody the same, whether you're the homeless lady that you gave the $100 to, or if you fucking a billionaire, I'm going to kind of treat you the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he respects that and appreciate that, because sometimes people get around you and they want to act like you and they want to show you that they're cool. And it's probably getting tiresome to some of these celebrities. So we just kind of click, laugh, joke. Obviously, some smoking probably was involved, but you know,
you go to
a whole different level of like, you know, just getting to know somebody. And then I shot him that track. I said, because he was training at the time, and he said, I'm on it. And I didn't know what Wiz I was gonna get. I didn't know if I was gonna fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know if we were gonna get Weed on Boys. Yeah. But when I heard his verse, I'm like,
he knows what he's doing.
That's the old school Wiz. Yeah.
You say training with Wiz. What's he?
Hey, Wiz can go.
No,
yo,
stop.
Yo, you didn't know
no,
this?
You, no, you got to watch him. Because
every time I ever seen him, I'm like, this dude's a string bean.
No, not anymore.
He was a string bean.
Oh,
not anymore.
He walked up?
You know what's the funny part? This is the funny thing. When I first met Wiz like 3 or 4 years ago, actually it was 4 years ago, right? So his security guards, Lonnie and Breeze, was like, hey, man, you know, come out to the deal. So I came out, they was playing a video game.
No, stop, bro.
You gotta see the picture before when he was dumb skinny.
Bro, he ain't fucking around.
I might even have a LL, I might need you to throw my phone in a second. But so
he could, he
I sent
up
I sent
oh, it's
him
right
the,
there. Brolic right him, there, top
oh,
right.
Shit. I sent him a picture of when I first met him, how skinny he was, right? And I said, hey, homie, I said, we should train sometime. Yeah, he had never trained yet. He said, oh, I'm down with
you. You sent him a picture of himself as a skinny person?
Yeah.
And then you're like, yo, you look like a noodle.
No. When I met him, I said, we should do some training. He had never really trained before. He said, oh, I'm down with it. And his guys was kind of laughing, like, man, you know your ass ain't gonna train. And then he just basically
fuck?
Yeah. He basically got addicted to training. He wasn't eating, my dude, which made no sense to me because I don't know if you've been around him and see how much he smoked. If you smoke as much as he do, you would think munchies would be on, like to the power of 10.
Now he's got that shit down pat. Science.
Now he's eating, training, lifting, and he's like almost. I mean, I would almost argue that he's into this shit. He plans it like he does his music. Like it's a part of his day.
Damn.
Like he don't really like when they came to St. Louis, they want to work out, they want to train. Like he makes it a part of his day.
For what purpose?
You know what? He got his bodyguards. Nobody like other bodyguards scared of his bodyguard. So
he got some
big dudes, and they they got nice little rep behind them. But so he don't really have to get nobody up off of him.
I think he
just loves training, and then he's a thinker. So when I show him a move or two, you can't really try to do it on it. He'll try to do the same shit back to you.
Got you.
So I'm like, I like this dude.
Because Drake, I remember when he beefed up, he bulked up a couple of years back. I don't know, maybe he inspired some of the other
rappers. They trying to sit like Coach. You see it. You see what's going on, right?
Hino.
What, with Hino?
With Drake and Kevin Hart, y'all trying to sit like Coach. We see it. We know y'all trying to throw him more money than us. So y'all trying to take our coach away.
Fucked, dude. Yeah, So Tyron's talking about, we have the same,
we had him on the show.
My boxing coach is right there. Yeah. But Hino actually came on the show, and he was one of the first people I sparred. And yeah, bro, his picture's right there. He's fucking training Drake and Kevin Hart right now.
I know.
Hey, Hino, what's good?
If it come down to it, you're probably going to have to take out Drake, and I got to take out Kevin. So, you know, we got to come
celebrity boxing match coming up.
Yo, Drake, you know, big fan, but I don't know. I got hands, bro. Shit.
Yo, I want to ask one question before we cut off the rap side. Who inspired you as a rapper? Like, why did you start rapping? Who'd you listen to growing up?
You know, I love Tupac.
Yeah,
because Tupac was a realist to me. You know, he sent a message out, whether it was, you know, him in a club, whether he's talking about, you know, stand up for your rights. Brandon had a baby. He had so many different messages. And what I found out in rap and in music and just any type of art, who you like and who inspires you, you don't have to rap like them. Hmm. I love Kendrick Lamar. I love Jordan Lucas. I'm not finna rap like them.
Yeah.
I might say something ratchet. Wham. A bitch been eating yams. You would never forget that shit, right?
Yes.
But it's gonna get stuck into your head. And I used to hate my voice. Like one thing that rappers find out, everybody hates the shit out of their voice when they first start doing it.
Yeah, hearing themselves.
Now it's to the point where I learned how to manipulate my voice. And I know how to make it sound so distinct. If somebody does an ADR, right, for a cartoon or something like that, you know when it's fucking Chris Rock. You know when it's Eddie Murphy. So I got a voice that's kind of got a little rasp to it. So if someone hears me talking, they know what it is. I've learned how to use that to my advantage in rapping. And it's made some of my tracks sound dumb dope.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, I fucking hated it. I re-recorded some songs like 5 or 6 times.
Damn.
Because I hated the way it sounded. You know?
Now, yeah, you definitely have a tone.
The reason I asked was I wanted to ask you how you felt about the current state of rap. And, like, if you listen to any of these new dudes, Lil Pump just released a new song the other day that we've been talking about. I'm sure you heard it.
This
it's
is
called
hilarious.
Be Like Me. It's like, everybody want to be like me. The lyrics.
Have you heard this song?
I have not.
The lyrics in one of his verses is you could talk shit about me every day, but I'm still rich at the end of the day. I take drugs like it's vitamin C. I'm a millionaire, but I don't know how to read.
And we go listen to that shit.
I'm a role model that these kids want to be. I just smashed a pregnant bitch that's overseas. Like, I just out of curiosity, because you say you like Tupac, and you probably respect Big and Nas as a lyricist, and Jay and all these guys. Like,
wow,
what the fuck is going on right now?
Right, let me tell you,
like, answer that question.
And I feel you. And I feel you.
Just answer me.
I'm gonna feel you. But when I started doing music, this is what I have to do. I put every music in its own category. It's some shit that's just gonna get you turned up for the club.
Right.
They're not gonna blow you away. They're not gonna hit you with no Kung Fu Kenny type shit. No, J. Cole. No, fucking Joyner Lucas. No. You know, Tupac, Biggie, Jay, they're not going to do that for you. It's some people that are going to just say something catchy. They may not even give you a verse. Like, think about God Bless His Soul, Triple X. It was some songs where he just riffed the whole song. Don't cry. Like, that was probably going to be a song by itself.
Yeah.
With nothing else to it. And it's a genre of kids that that's going to be good for. The Yachty's, the Lil Pumps, and, you know, all these people. And even, like, the quote-unquote mumble rappers. They don't have to really go into some groundbreaking metaphor or really consciously address an issue that, you know, is obvious going on. They don't have to do that. So what I do is I listen to, if it's a song that got a dope-ass beat, I'm listening to it for the beat. Yeah. If it's a song that's finna get me turned up for the club, I listen to it for that. That's some shit that's gonna make me be like, what the fuck is he talking about? But then I'm gonna listen to it anyway. Like you such a fucking hoe.
But here's what,
how many girls be banging that song?
Everybody. But here's the only thing that scares me.
The bad message he sent.
Not even that as much. Not even that. And yeah, maybe. And by the way, like, I don't have the fucking best message or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's fine. But what scares me is that these dudes are doing better numbers than anybody that's got any kind of message. I mean, like, Pump is running the fucking show, bro.
6ix9ine wrote the book on that shit.
Yeah.
He played dumb on us. Like, he finessed us.
Yeah.
Everything was on purpose. He made himself sound dumber than what he was on purpose. He made it, like, he did something when he was in the soccer net, like, nobody can score a soccer goal on me. He's smart as fuck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Lil Pump is just really playing on his deal. Like, His claim to fame was Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
Gucci Gang.
Think about it. Like, what the fuck was he even talking about?
It just scares me, because imagine knowing right now that if Brenda's got a baby or changes dropped,
but listen to this. Everything comes around full circle, right? So, I like my artist, T Double, I would put him in a category of a Kendrick, a J. Cole, a Eminem, a Wayne. He's lyrically that gifted, and he would fucking blow your mind with lyrics. He wanted to drop his album, right? And I said, the time to drop your album is not now. People are still doing the auto tunes over the top. They're still doing the Bumble stuff. They're still doing this, you know, everybody with their face, a million tattoos, hair color. They're in that wave. They got a couple more years left. I mean, I don't know if you'd like to hear that or not.
No, it's fine.
But it's another 2 or 3 years where it's still going to be popping, right? But look what happened when Lil Wayne dropped his album, and then Eminem dropped his album, and then all these guys that are dropping out these dope-ass projects.
Yeah.
So the real rap music is coming back out. So after we drop our shit, right? Now we drop a solo project, which we already have done. You drop your Defiant. I drop my Obedient on the same day. Now they're ready for it. Now, instead of throwing a fucking atomic bomb in the ocean and you kill a few fish, you generate the fucking people. You get them all listening to what you got to talk about, and you drop the bomb on everybody. That's when it's going to get the most attraction.
When these rappers, there's some rapper beef. I know there was a Chris Brown, like, Offset beef situation going on, or any rappers in general, when they call each other out and threaten to show up at each other's houses and fight.
Chris Brown, I don't know why he did that.
Bro, do you take that shit seriously as a fighter?
I take one thing serious. If you want to fight me, let's just fight. You know, most likely you know how to get to me. You don't have to go on the internet. You know my phone number. They got each other contact. And I think that beef with them, with Chris Brown and Offset, was more so about the Karrueche dating Quavo. Yeah, we all know what that was about. Yeah. And it's the gang game. My dude don't fuck with you. I don't fuck with you.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be commenting on my post. I got it. But at the end of the day, when he dropped his address, come on now, dog. Let's be real. Don't mean you dropping your address, because it's people that have a basic business structure where they get addresses. They try to find out where you live at. They try to case when you're in and out of town based on your social media, and they'll try to come in and hit you for a lick. So don't be stupid on trying to pull up. Say, hey, you got my phone number. You want to fight? Get off the social media. Call me, text me, whatever.
It's so fucking
easy. Or do it for charity and make some money off of it.
For real, for real. Or yo, be on the undercard of Logan Paul versus KSI too.
When is it? You ain't set the date yet?
I don't know, dog.
Are y'all going to do it on this side of the water?
Yeah, for sure.
Doing this side.
Okay, yeah, for
we got
sure.
a little
you
problem.
You gotta come, bro.
We got a little problem with setting the date. I don't really know how to put this, like, in the right, like, business terms. His opponent is a bitch.
I knew you was going
there. And so,
you
like,
just
I'm
put
just
it
trying
the way
to,
it is.
Yeah, I'm just
because
trying to.
I think, you know what, that if I heard that makes me feel like he was satisfied with the draw.
He
was overwhelmed.
He was satisfied.
That was a victory for him.
Yeah.
Bro, this dude's
so
been
won
eating
again. So now he doesn't want to go run it back because he's scared that, you know, it might.
He was ecstatic with
it. He got to do it, though. Come on.
Scraped with a draw.
KSI, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, KSI.
Come on, dog. You got to do it, man.
You know you got to do it.
You ain't going to die. You know, go on there. Hey, if he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies.
So somebody said the other day to me, was like, well, it's not like, what if your opponent died? I'm like, man, if he die, he die.
Drago.
You really like, you really said it. I really said it.
Really, I kind of meant it a little bit, but not so much for this opponent, but when I end up fighting Cunt Queefington, I kind of mean it for that one.
Why not this opponent? What's his name?
Kamaru Usman. Calamari Usman. Or Tamara Usman, because it ain't showtime yet, bro. Either one you want.
I
respect him. He got a strong game. He's a good fighter. He kind of jumped the line because Kobe was kind of trying to call the shots. He ain't the champ. So he put himself in a position where he's fighting for a title. He had a good fight, his last fight against RDA. And that's why he's in this position. So I don't really got much smoke with him. He do try to act a little too cool. And I kind of caught him out on that LL. He's like, yeah, you know, because you're the champion. It's time. Just shut up, dude. Just come to fight.
He's, what is he, 14-1?
14-1, yeah.
14-2. Coming up.
14-2. There you go.
It sounds like this guy's just another box to be checked. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case with most of the fighters that you face, man. I feel like it's been a couple guys
that gave me the butterflies, you know, just because of their resume and what they did and how they matched up. It don't matter what they did against somebody else, but how they match up with me, like, damn, I gotta really, you know, make sure I don't leave no stone unturned. Excuse me. But he doesn't really specialize in anything. He's a great collegian wrestler, but I'm a better collegian wrestler. He has good composure, but I got the highest fight IQ in our entire division.
Yeah.
You know, I punch harder, I punch faster, I got better boxing, I got better combinations, and I've been through way more wars. I've been through way more opponents that have been at a very high level in their peak and prime, and he just hasn't experienced that yet. So now what he's doing is trying to sell himself that he's ready. And that's a dangerous thing to do, because at the end of the day, they got to lock the octagon. And when they lock it, you in there. And your coaches came, are you ready? You can beat them. And you know,
no, you can't.
Like, they lied to you.
No, you can't. Hey, sorry, guy. Your coaches lied to you. The people that love you most are lying to your face.
They are.
Calamari Usman. Yeah. I'm trying to come. It's in Vegas, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, when
March
Saturday.
2nd.
That's why I can't go to Saturday. The club with you.
Oh, because yeah,
this priorities. This fucking dude invited him to Poppy before the podcast started. Yeah, nice guy. Invitation is the highest form of flattery. I get it.
But I told you I'd be there in spirit.
Yeah,
but I can't turn up Saturday night.
Yeah,
and then Sunday, yeah, I got to pull up because I got the album release party at Dash Radio.
Oh,
Sunday
Dash Radio.
Here in LA.
Oh shit!
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, four days.
We got to go. Yeah,
come in and crash the joint.
I'm trying to go to Vegas too, to be honest, bro.
Yeah.
How does that happen exactly?
That's fine.
Let's do that.
What, me going to Vegas? Probably via jet.
When you say me.
Via pume.
How does that hold?
Vroom vroom. On the
well, no, because you just said me.
We ad libbing on you. I don't know if you noticed that.
And John Jones is on that card as well. Yeah. You talk to him? You ever train with him or anything?
I trained with him one time. I talk to him. I don't talk to him like every week, every day, but occasionally I talk to him. And most of the time we talk shit. We don't even talk about fighting. It's about life and stuff like that. So
you think he's going to take that fight?
Yeah, I think he got that one. I like Anthony Smith because he's so respectful and he don't have nothing to lose. And it's smarter with John to come underneath and be friendly. The ass whooping won't be as bad.
Yo,
people that try to rev him up got that work.
I feel like, so John outside of the ring, I feel like he's a friendly, respectable dude.
Yes.
But I feel like when that cage locks, he turns into a different human being. Not even a human being.
He also
anymore.
Possesses, like, there's only been a few fighters that I see that have the no hesitation factor. He don't know that if you do a low single leg in MMA, that might not be the number one move a coach should teach you. He don't know that it doesn't not gonna work, or a fucking lateral drop or front headlock can flip you overhead. He thinks that if I do this move, it's 100% gonna work. And if you think that, it's 100% gonna work.
Yeah.
So he can throw crazy elbows, knees, guillotine chokes, you know, had his arm broken, toes snapped off. His mind is not really positioned to think that he can lose or think that a technique won't work. And that's like a fighter's dream. You know?
Oh, for real?
Gosh. If I can go out there and I can just see a blank canvas and I just go in and throw fucking paint everywhere and any move I want to do, I try without even thinking about it, without hesitating, that's like when you got the Bruce Lee word glow. Like, that's like when you in that moment in the zone.
Yo, your first, my voice is cracked fucking
that's
twice
right,
during this podcast, right. By the way. I'm going through puberty, no problem.
There we go.
When you
gotta let them balls drop at some point.
Some point. I'm fucking 23. It's about time. Almost 24. You had your first UFC fight in 2012.
Yeah.
Is that late to get started?
you know, was I started fighting at 23.
That's crazy.
If you think about boxing, like these motherfuckers be fighting at like these kids,
7 years old, yeah,
70 fights before they even leave high school. So I never really wanted to fight. Like I was a wrestler in college, and you know, I wanted to be a college wrestling coach. And the Ultimate Fighter show, Ultimate Fighter 1 that came out, I'm like, oh, fuck, I know this dude. That's Kashi. I wrestle that guy. That's my actual coach. That's my teammate. So I just started watching because so many wrestlers, like half the show was wrestlers.
Yeah.
And then I was like, damn, let me just try this out. I was hitting the bag one day, and it was looking terrible, too. Like, looking back at what I thought I was doing, what I was looking like, and thinking now
I can
what
imagine,
really man. Was happening with them cheap-ass gloves I had on. So we was punching the bag, and every day was like, I want to punch for 2 minutes straight, 3 minutes straight. And I got up to 5 minutes straight. Oh, shit, I'm ready now. In my mind, you know what? I should fight then.
Ah,
if I could put, hey, if I could punch this bag for five minutes, I dead ass should fight, right?
12 rounds.
So said, fuck it. So I went into a gym, and I said, hey, I want to fight on your card next week. And the dude was like, is this you on that wrestling poster right here? I said, yep. He said, all right, you in. So literally that weekend, I fought on this car, and then I just remember feeling like I can really fucking hurt this dude with my hands. Like, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I had never felt that way in wrestling or any other sport. And I remember swinging at him so hard, I missed. But he said, fuck it, I'm going to shoot on the wrestler, the All-American wrestler.
Oh,
so
okay.
He went there, and I just choked him out real quick. It was like a 10-second fight. And I had just learned that move like earlier that
day. The guillotine?
Like a five-finger guillotine.
I learned it
like real quick. And then I was like, damn. Well, let me try it again. Then my next fight was a few seconds. I tried again. So I had like my first couple amateur fights, like from 2005 to 2008 or whenever, before I turned pro. All my fights was like a matter of seconds in the first round. So I never got the feel if I wanted to do it. I was a coach. Like, wrestlers were kicking fighters' ass.
Yeah.
And they needed me to help them from getting taken down. And that's what my job was. And then I said, fuck it, let me give it a try.
Just an absolute fucking train from the beginning. What's going through your mind when you got a guy across the ring from you, you know, your size, your weight, and your goal is to render him unconscious? Are there evil thoughts going through your mind?
Not really, because I don't really need to go to that dark place. Gotcha. Guys like Nick Diaz and Nate, they got to go there. They got to hate you.
You know those guys?
I don't know them personally, but I've been around them, obviously, through Strikeforce and UFC. Yeah. But I've heard them talk, and I've heard the way that they... Oh, you want to fight me? So if someone want to fight him, they taking it personal. Like, oh, fuck you, man. It's like beef. Like, no, I want to fight you because you dope and you fucking a good fighter.
Yeah.
And if I beat you, now I get the juice you got. So I should want to fight you. It's more of a respect thing. But the thing about me is that I know that if I can get to that chin quick, and I know that if I can hit you with a shot that you can't see coming, I'm probably going to knock you out.
Yeah.
So that's more so what I'm thinking. I'm not like, oh, I gotta hate this person. I'm gonna kill him. It's murder. They taking my diapers from my daughter. Like, I don't have to go there.
It's science, too. You're moving in there tactically to make the right
timing.
I mean, with him specifically, like, I don't know how many fights you've seen him, but you can see that, and that's why I think I love watching you as a fighter. This, you have a composure to you that is like, quite honestly, fucking terrifying.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, bro.
I got a question on your preparation for the fight. I know you said you were cutting, and we're talking about peeing earlier.
Yeah,
you know, and the color of your pee. I wanted to ask you a little bit about R. Kelly.
That's a fucking sick ass segue. Like, sick in both sense. Like, disgusting.
And kind of what's been going on with him, yo. You've been.
Hey, that motherfucker thought he was off the hook, didn't he?
Yo.
He thought
he
thought he was off. And now what, he up on like 10 new counts or something?
Oh, he's fucked.
So he's out on bail.
A million buck bail? He might as well say that money,
he
bro.
He posted it.
He posted bail. He's out. And the first thing he did was go to McDonald's. And he got a quarter pounder meal with, get this, soda and coffee. I don't know why, but that just really rubbed me the wrong way.
That's fucked up, bro.
That seems like a good enough reason to give him max sentence right there. Who the fuck drinks both of those beverages at the same time? That's weird.
A lot of caffeine.
That's weird. But more importantly, what's more weird is the shit he was doing was weird.
But the thing is,
did we all really not know that shit was going on?
How did he not get caught?
Until now. No, he got caught. He paid a lot of people off.
But I don't understand even that.
As a parent, they're the ones that I'm more mad at. your daughter was involved with R. Kelly. You knew this shit and you allowed the payoff to take place. And now all of a sudden you want to come out and fucking, oh, now you want to testify and say, no, that motherfucker would not be living if he fucking touched my daughter. I don't give a fuck how much money he tried to pass over. That would it'd have been a wrap. So I got a problem with obviously him doing this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a fucking superstar. He can probably have any woman he wants. Woman, keyword woman.
Yeah.
For him to have that sick fetish to want to date these underage women, and then for the parents to know and they get paid off, like, you know your daughter not at home. Worse yet.
Yeah.
You don't want to ask a few questions?
Fucked, bro.
Yeah. And not to use it as any defense whatsoever, but it's to do that, you got to be kind of fucked up. You got to be kind of sick.
He's fucking sick.
Well, he thought he was beyond it because he paid all these people out and beat all these cases and whatever. But the bad part about it is that I think some of these statute of limitations are going to come bite him in the ass. So some of these cases might get drawn back up. And also the new ones, now everybody want to come out. Like, it's like, I wonder if he had them sign something to say, okay, if I pay you this, you can't never, you know, testify or sue me or whatever.
Is there a chance he could get saved by statute of limitations? Is that the current belief?
I don't know. I haven't looked.
It's been how fucking long,
dude. I didn't watch the stuff because, one, like, we still bump. We stepping in the name of love and ignition. My mind's telling me. He told us, man.
Yeah.
My mind's telling me no. That means that.
Why didn't we see it?
My conscience is telling me she's 12.
No,
my dick still got hard, and I don't know why.
I think that was how. I think that's how he initially wrote it, and yeah. I think his team had him edit it to my body's telling me yes. Yeah. So there's just a slight tweak.
Yeah.
bro, I remember because I'm.
And I'm guilty, man. Like, he made some dope ass music that I can't act like I didn't, you know, Fiesta.
That's the problem. That people
we let it slide.
His fucking
team
bullshit is overshadowed by his art.
Dope ass
yeah.
shit.
And right. It's unfortunate. Yeah, man.
It's unfortunate because we all are guilty. We can't just sit crushed down on him or the parents because I was. Definitely was bumping R. Kelly.
I mean, Ignition is fucked now. I can't listen to that song.
Yo,
stick your key in my... I don't want your key anywhere near anybody's Ignition at this point.
That's true.
Speaking of not listening to rappers, did you see what happened to Ja Rule?
Yeah.
And the
Timberlake. I saw that shit.
Well,
are you ready?
I've never seen that.
Nothing.
You know what
I thought happened?
What?
I thought 50 Cent. Had made like
something.
No, I thought he made an edited version when people really actually said something.
Oh shit!
But he made it seem like they didn't. But then he said, "I guess you're not." 50 said, "Oh, I paid everybody not to say anything."
Yo, did you see
that?
That's what he said on his post.
He didn't, but did you? No, he didn't.
But he did buy a couple hundred tickets to make his front row empty.
But did you see the Timberwolves tweeted the next day? Like, we've all been bamboozled. Like, they tweeted and went at Ja too. Like, they even the team did. The team tweeted.
So my question is, if everybody came to the show and they were there,
can you get that tweet?
So
no?
when they started coming, you know, he's trying to get everybody amped up for the show. Why did they just leave him out there? They came to the show voluntarily on their own free will and on their own dime. So why would they not? I think 50 Cent might have cashed that shit out of everybody.
50's petty as fuck.
He dumb
bro.
Petty, man. I can't even fuck with half the stuff. He like below the belt petty.
Yeah.
But it's fucking hilarious, yo. He's the master troll of the internet.
Like, how do you, if you get into any kind of beef with him, like, how do you not just find a way to get out of it?
You fucked.
Like, Mayweather, he can't lose, bro. I seen him out here burning Gucci shirts now.
Yo, because tell me,
Mayweather
tell me.
Did?
No, 50 was burning his Gucci shirts because of the whole scandal. And
then he wrote a letter for 50. I mean, for
I
Floyd.
Saw in like
he wrote it, like
a kindergartner
like
print.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, bro, when you make 50 Cent money and you've been through what he's been through, at this point, like, have fun and live your life and make fun of people. Yo, I'm sure 50 and Mayweather saw each other. There would be no ill will. It'd be like,
but I mean, like 50, he's like when I was in high school. I didn't know that when you, like, we call it joning or roasting or flaming or whatever we call it.
Yeah.
When we joning on somebody, in my mind, if you got quiet, then I'm winning. Now I'm going to go hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in my house, it's 13 of us. We didn't have no money for no damn movies. We had to do Showtime at the Apollo at home. We had to roast each other. But the next day, we woke up, and that's your sister, your brother. And
so
they knew you didn't mean it.
Yeah.
But I didn't recognize that people didn't get that same memo. So I would go hard. Like, motherfuckers would be crying. Yeah, no, dead ass.
T's like, yo,
high yes. school. People crying in high school. So I had to realize, like, you know what? I don't want to do that. That like, some girl that I actually liked her, had a crush on her. I thought she was hot. She said, you were a humiliator in high school. I was like, what? She said, I remember I used to come into the big lunch deal and used to be on one side going, loose. And then the person on the other side would be going, booty.
No.
I don't remember that. I don't remember it, but if I did do that, that was some bullshit.
you can use this platform to apologize to her if you want.
Jada, I'm sorry. If I said that, I was an asshole. I probably thought it was funny, and it was not, obviously.
Yo, that's the worst. When I meet people from like high school years and they tell me a story that I'm like,
you know what you got to do? You got to go give back. So when you go back to the high school and talk about bullying, you got to throw yourself in there. I was bullying people.
Yeah.
I was talking to a lot of people. So I went back and talked to over 100 schools because I feel like I have to. Mm-hmm. Because when that person, that wasn't the only one. I'm like, if she thought that and I actually liked her, what about the people that I was really going in on? You could have changed their whole trajectory, the way they thought about life and like insecurities. And I never thought about that. So
yeah,
I think now I try to get back.
I think people nowadays are starting to get more tuned into like what that bullying and like that talk does. Yeah. Like, cause I'm close to you. I'm 34.
Yeah.
So we had all that shit. No one was telling us don't bully.
But nobody was just never shit on Instagram. Yeah, and you like permanently damaged.
Yo, so right? So you worried now? I mean, this is a very fragile climate to say and do anything.
Yeah, I'm worried now. Definitely, I got kids too. Shit,
You seem like a pretty.
My kids ain't getting bullied though, thank God. And they don't. I say, don't bully nobody. I don't give a fuck what they wearing, what they smell like, what they look like. You don't do that shit. I did. It was terrible. If somebody's
probably because they kicked the bully's ass.
That too, but then it's like, if you see somebody getting bullied, you know, you take it for them, or you make sure you don't get involved with it.
Yeah.
Do you get a little leeway as a fighter to kind of say and do what you want, or
I don't use it, but I think I probably would.
Has anybody stepped to you in the past 10 years?
In the past year,
real life street fight.
Imagine you're out at the club.
The worst time somebody stepped to me and it was like, do they pay you? Because you getting them.
No, I just,
fucking are, by the way.
Poppy Tatus, man. Better be on the fucking stage.
On the house, and you better give them three bottles. Three models.
They do.
Now we got more than on both of them.
What?
Six. Anyway,
it was
all right,
the real life.
Yeah, the worst time that somebody pulled up on me, it was I was at this function. I was invited. And it was like one of my friends, she's like one of these like marketing models, like Bacardi or something like that. And that's a long time ago. People don't even drink Bacardi that much. Huh?
That's kind of out. Yeah.
So,
it ain't hot.
So that was 10 years ago. It was like 2005 or something. So I was at this party, right? It was like at the lake, and I was the only black dude there. So if I whoop this dude ass and I'm the only black dude there, I'm going to look like I'm in a star and shit, right? So he come up to me, and my teammate girl is there, and the girl I was dating was there, and they were friends, and I went to the party, da, 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 whatever. So he go up underneath the skirt, boom, handful of vagina.
Oh,
so he grabbed my teammate girl's vagina.
Nope.
So I grab his wrist, try to squeeze juices out of it. And I was like, bruh, don't do that, my dude. That's my guy's girl. You hit hella disrespectful right now. This ain't gonna end well for you, right? So he was like, you don't want to fight me, man. I'm in the UFC, bro. You don't want to fight me. And I said, one, you're not in the UFC. I wasn't even in the UFC, man, but I knew he wasn't. And I said, two, there's only two or three gyms total in this proximity. And your ass don't train in any of those gyms. And I know you're not in the UFC. So what you're doing is you're embarrassing yourself and you're embarrassing all your friends. And you're probably about to get your ass beat. So he's like, no, you don't want to fight me, man. You don't want to go outside and fight. So then he reached for my face, which is the ultimate. The mush, the face mush.
Oh, it's
that's,
over.
That's on a level of slapping, calling another man a bitch, or spitting in his face.
The spit's the one that gets it. Spit, bro.
Or slap.
That's automatic. Bitch,
or face mush grab.
Yeah.
So he reached for it, and so I grabbed his ass, and I was like, I have every right to whoop his ass right now. I should have. And even telling the story right now, I feel like you kind of bunked out because you didn't beat his ass. But for the cause of the people that invited me, I said, brother, I would literally kill you with my bare hands. And it's my friend's function, and that's the only reason why I'm not beating your ass. So his, I said, yeah, I need to get y'all friends. Y'all need to be a friend right now because he about to get hurt. So he comes up to me afterwards again. Hey, bro, man, don't let women come between us. Like, we cool.
What the?
Motherfucker, I don't even know you. He's like, hey, bro, don't let women come between us, man. You know, it's bros before hoes, man. And, you know, I don't want to fight. But if you want to fight, we can go outside. You know what I mean? They're like, you know, if you still want to fight and you want to go outside, we can go. And I'm thinking, like, this dude's drunk.
Yo,
it's made me feel even worse because I know I should have whooped his ass.
Should have.
But good for you. But good for you, though.
I didn't. That was the one time.
Yeah.
So if I happen to whoop somebody else on the road, I at least got one in the back pocket. Yeah, so yeah, I didn't do it that time.
But at least it's like
you owe an ass beating.
But he went for my face for the mush, though, man. Like,
it's something you learned about yourself because you already know you could beat people's ass. Yeah. So now you know you could get away without beating somebody's ass. Like you're
ooh,
man, you're a real crossover.
That make me boil just thinking about that. He grabbed a whole handful. And it was like, boom. Uppercut.
Well, I've got a surprise for you, and I know I didn't want to tell you, but we've actually got the guy here right now.
All right, well, cool. Now I can beat his ass.
Brady, come on out.
Brady's one of those guys.
He comes out.
Damn.
He comes out. He's still drunk. Brady, he's like, listen, man, I don't want to fight you, but I will fight you, and we could go outside and fight right now.
Oh, uppercut. Under the skirt, Brady. God damn.
I don't think
eating yams.
I think it's pretty obvious he didn't want to fight you probably when he came back. He just, you know, he had to stick up for himself and his boys and cool and shit.
He made everybody look stupid, so he tried to solve it and like come in peace, but then he threw that in again, like, you can't fight if you want to. And I'm like,
there's a lot of people that probably don't want to fight you. I heard GSP wouldn't fight you.
You know, GSP wouldn't fight me because he had his mind on what his legacy was and what it was going, the way it was going to end. And he didn't really need to beat me. I needed to beat him. I needed that fight for my legacy. Yeah. He didn't really need it for his. So he wanted to take some fights like Bisping above me. He wanted to take a fight Khabib underneath me. And I can be like, oh, he was scared. But to be honest, if I was him and I had already won this welterweight title a million times, I may want to come back and do something different myself. I may want to go for the fight that's going to give me the most money, especially when he low-key built the pay-per-view model.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can't really knock him.
You mentioned Khabib.
Khabib, yeah.
Is that in the future?
Shit, I don't know. He got some problems making 55, so we'll see. To be honest, I'm going to fight Usman. I'm going to fight Queefington most likely if he gets his shit to straight. Then I'm going to go get that 185 belt.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah,
that's a tough fucking weight class. Yeah.
Kelvin Gastelum that's fighting for the interim already beat him with one foot after he missed weight by 10 pounds. He was fighting me at middleweight then.
Holy shit.
He was a welterweight. And then Israel Adesanya, I think he's dope. Robert Whitaker's dope.
What do you mean on one foot? Like, you got injured and you had to...
I broke my foot the first kick of the first strike thrown. Go, kick, broke.
Wow.
And I still beat him. So, I mean, I think...
Yo, how do you do that? If you have a foot hanging off your leg.
Adrenaline. Done it three times.
How'd you feel after that fight?
Well, I started trying to walk out of the octagon. I'm like, my foot broke. And I thought it was going to be like one of those breaks where it's like that. But I decided to be tough and not take the wheelchair. Because, you know, us wrestlers, we think we got to do that meathead shit. And I did the meathead shit. And what happened was my bones did this.
Oh, no.
And then this one got on top of that one. So they had to break him, put him.
That re-break sucks.
One of those.
Like, oh, I've had that re-break a bunch of times. It sucks.
The doctor, hands in him.
To have a doctor grab your limb like that and be like, I hate to do this.
In my mind,
a
bone break, you think it's going to be like 6 weeks, 8 weeks. That was 6 months, and it was torturous. Then I tore my labrum against Damian Maya. I threw a punch, you know, in the first round, tore my labrum. Then I had to fight him the 5 rounds. Then Darren Till. And I punched him. I punched right here, and my bone shot up, and I tore all these ligaments right here. So I did that in the first round. So then the coach was like, throw him with the scoop punch. So I started hitting him. I'm like, damn, that shit don't feel good. Let me go ahead and hit this elbow. Because if you see any of my other fights, I've thrown two elbows total in all of my fights ever. I elbowed Paul Daly once. I remember elbowing. I'm like, damn, that fucking kind of hurt, dude. Maybe I should just punch him or something. Then I elbowed Tarek Saffiedine. That was it.
That shit hurt?
It hurt my elbow, but the way it shook him up, I was like, damn, that's kind of, I just elbowed the shit out of
him. And then how many times did you elbow dude when you broke your hands?
Million. Million.
Damn.
But it's a mindset. Like, I wasn't really ready to go to that dark place. You know, you talked about going crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you got to be ready to have an arm bar and pull it and hear crack, 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 and not stop. And hear it popping or dislocating or know it's just about to or hit somebody and they drop on the ground. And you got to be ready to, you know, finish up if the referee don't jump you off. And at that point in time, when I hit the elbow, I don't know if I was in that mental place where I can just keep elbowing until I see blood come out.
But what about even like...
I'm there now, though.
The arm bar, specifically that move, like...
I want an arm bar Kobe, though. I want to...
You
want
to fuck this dude?
I want Terrence.
Why do you not like this guy?
Because he's just a queef.
Like, just a walking, talking human queef?
Because it's one thing to talk it if you can back it up. Like, Chael Sonnen and Connor and some of these guys, they can back it up. And they at least sound smart. But when you do it, you sound, like, just idiotic. And it's not even funny or cool.
Every time he talks, you should go...
Hey. Hey, you a V fart.
Yo. That was disgusting. Connor is...
He's scared to fight me.
He won't do it?
No, he's not going to fight me. You know, he's the same thing as George. Nobody wants to fight me because they know I'm going to beat them and I'm going to steal there. It's like, remember the old Freddy movie? I might be dating myself, but like, it was a movie where Freddy was stealing everybody's powers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so he was killing them and then their fucking heads were on his, mm-hmm. they was like a big pizza. It was like mm-hmm. weird. So when you fight somebody like, when Khabib beat Conor, you notice how his followers jumped from like 2 million to 13 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So his juice jumped to the roof. When GSP beat fucking Matt Hughes, when Conor beat Jose Aldo, it takes beating somebody to really jump to that next level. They're smart enough not to let them be the one I get that jump on. Yeah. Whether it was Bisping when I wanted to fight him, that didn't happen. The Diaz brothers, I wanted to fight both of them, that didn't happen. Conor, GSP. But so now I'm to the point where I'm gonna do it the old school way.
We'll just fight your way.
Beat people's asses. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was gonna say, then I'm that guy.
He can't run for forever.
Yeah. Well, Conor, I mean, he can do whatever he wants to. Shit, you making $100 million, you kind of call a shot or two.
Yeah, I don't see him trying to fight you anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, he fought welterweight once, but think about it. Nate was a super undersized welterweight. Yeah. Whenever he fought it, he's really a lightweight. He don't have a lot of power in his punch, so he fought somebody at welterweight, and they just fought it. They almost walking around weight.
What about Khabib?
Khabib, I mean, I could fight Khabib. Khabib, he has troubles making 155, you know,
yeah.
and he's talked about going up a couple of times. I think he'll be quite a bit undersized, but to be honest, I'd rather just go up, you know what I mean? Fight Usman, fight Kobe, go up and get that middleweight belt.
And that'd be fun to see.
Yeah,
I would.
But I'm not against the Khabib fight for the record.
I'd be fucking dope, bro.
Yeah, I'm not against that.
Do you have any goals of getting an exhibition match like Conor did
yeah, but I don't think they're gonna like I'm gonna be 37 years sir. Do I really want to go in there and fight Canelo?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah, I do. But just like I told KSI, I ain't gonna die. If I make 50 million,
yeah, true. Yeah, shit,
then you could take a nice vacation.
Yeah, damn right.
Go get some CB.
I might not win, Canelo, but I ain't gonna die, and I'm coming with heat. So you gonna know you was in there with me.
Let's go. Why do the boxers never do MMA?
We know the
answer.
They worry about getting kicked and their arm broken and some shit coming from an angle they don't know. You know, the funny thing is when you spar a boxer, at least you know they're going to be do-do-do. It's going to be fundamental. MMA guys, motherfucker can come anywhere.
Anything.
Don't even make sense why you threw a punch like that, but you threw it and it hit, so now it's a technique.
It fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Sparring MMA dudes, training for my boxing match, Milton would occasionally bring in MMA dudes. One of them actually just fought
in
the UFC.
Kinking on his ass, didn't you?
Yo, they just throw punches different.
Yeah.
They go way over, way under, and he fucked up my jaw like about a month before the fight. I thought I broke my shit. So it was horrible.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was horrible.
What do you think about him and CM Punk?
CM Punk, the homie, I want to see that fight.
You don't?
No.
Oh, what's good?
Because you wouldn't know who to root for?
Nah, it's not that I don't want to know who to root for. I think these guys got enough juice by themselves that they can fight somebody else and gain the juice.
I want to fight. I want to fight someone. I want to.
Trying to get in,
dude. I want to get in the octagon. I want to get in some.
I cannot see Dana not letting you fight in the UFC.
It's been a conversation.
I cannot see that not happening.
Hey, D, where you at? Let me fight. Let me fight.
I can find somebody good for me.
I mean, obviously, like not someone of caliber where.
We don't want to push you in the number one contendership fight your first fight.
Yeah, but yo, give me a...
We want you to fight somebody that, you know, you're an athlete, you're a former wrestler, you obviously, you know, like to challenge yourself, you can box.
Yeah, not to mention, I'm like, I don't have that thing that's like, oh, I'm scared, I shouldn't be doing... Like, I'm ready to die in
you're
the
athletic
ring.
And it, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Helps a lot.
I mean, I've had to beat Bellator off with a fucking stick, dude. They want this kid bad. Yeah. They've been giving us first class to fucking Europe and come watch the fight. And he's not a Bellator guy. He wants to get in the fucking octagon, UFC.
Let me in, Dana.
I like Bellator too, but at the end of the day, I think the bigger draw and the bigger move for him would be the UFC.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see why Dana wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of fighting and weight class,
you gotta find the right opponent that makes sense.
True.
I can help you with that. I'm good at matching up who the fuck should fight who.
That'd be tight.
Yeah. I told CM Punk the person to fight too, but the UFC won't listen to him.
True. Speaking of fighting and weight class, hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
What about like a 90, 95 pound weight class, preferably for dwarfs?
Shit, let's get it cracking.
Because
who wouldn't watch that?
Yeah. I would. I'm the coach.
Hell, we just noticed that there's no weight class for Evan to fight in, and he's actually been training for 20 years of his life.
Hey, his fades can come in any size, my G. Yeah. You can send a fade out to anybody. Because if shit got popping right now, you got to throw down. You ain't got no training camp. You can't wait. You can't do no technique. If a motherfucker pulled up on you right now, you got to fight. Like, think about that.
And my boy is fucking brolic.
Yeah, he is.
He's a brick.
He's a G, bro.
Solid ass dude.
You ever heard of Bo Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they compare me to.
All right. I got you.
Yo, I want to do the...
you know what I'm thinking of Lamar. My Lamar had a bar about that.
About
Bo Jackson.
Fucking athlete. That's a beast right there. Yo, I want to go to audio-only Q&A. I'll make it quick. I know this man's tired, training after this. Yeah.
Got to him. Get it in.
Fucking savage. Tyron Woodley, you are fighting on March 2nd, UFC 235 against Kalamari Usman.
Kamaru Usman, a.k.a. LL Cool J, a.k.a. Kalamari Usman, a.k.a. Tamara Usman, a.k.a. Foosman, if you think you're finna get this belt from me.
Rest in pieces.
Let's fucking go.
My friend. By the fight, guys. Follow Tyron on Instagram, Twitter. What is it, by the way?
T Woodley. T-W-O-O-O-D-L-E-Y.
Hit me with that triple O.
And make sure you guys go and cop I Beat Yo Ass. It's already out. We leaking the track called Fight from Archangels Chaos Theory that's going to drop March 4th, Monday. First, I got to beat the ass on Saturday. 2 days later, I'm dropped the bomb with the album. So make sure you guys go and pre-order that. It'll be available Friday to pre-order. As well as the walkout song called Fight. If you do not have your motherfucking adrenaline pumping after you hear this song,
you're dead.
I have to question
you. Yeah.
Big fucking facts. My boy is everywhere. Thank you for watching this episode of Impulsive. Make sure to subscribe. Audio version only. Hit it up.
The lights is twinkling.
We'll see you guys
next time. That's the lights they were talking about. I was waiting on the light.
Peace. All right, quickly, bro. I know you gotta go. I just there's a couple more things I want to.
I just want to ask him about his DMs. He plugged his IG. I seen Justina Valentina on Wild and Out just going at you.
Yeah,
not even trying to hide shit. What do your DMs look like? You getting fucked up in there or what?
No, my DMs. Sometimes they pop and sometimes they not. You would think that there would be. You ever get that where you think your DMs would just be flooded with?
But
it's not all that.
I would assume it's centered around when you're fighting. Yeah.
When I'm fighting, like I get more questions on like, hey man, you got a few minutes? What about my diet and should I train? And am I too? Is it too late for me to get in there?
We see it every day, and it's like, what do you do? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I should take the path and just don't respond. Do you reply to any DMs?
It's a much easier. I mean,
you're not playing favors. Nobody getting a
reply. Yeah, true. I mean, but even there's so much just bullshit. Like you said, people insulting me, people praising me, people wanting to promote.
I don't read comments.
Yo, you don't read comments?
Yeah, I don't read comments.
His shit's next level though. So like his DM like requests, like on the request side, if you go down, you slide for a second, every one of them's from the last 10 to 15 seconds. Like for a whole swipe, 15 seconds.
I ain't on that level.
Like it's wild.
I get 100 or 200 a day, like the request is high. I can imagine.
His
like,
is thousands.
So you get every 10 seconds. You
It's always not. It says now. The time is now.
Do you ever like decline them all?
No.
Yeah.
Leave them there?
I did once. Like,
I got
a month
OCD,
ago.
Man. I have to.
Oh, shut up.
Because I can't see that on the 99 side.
99 plus requests.
I can't see that.
I see. Yeah, that's where mine is.
It freaks me out. But I hate seeing alerts.
But it becomes the same as it being empty when it's always 99 plus. It has the same effect. It's just like a part of my
interface. So you just got to block it out.
Yep.
The one thing I will say, just as you know, what I do for myself is, as opposed to even attempting to answer all these people, because it's just never gonna be fucking possible.
And then somebody sends some bullshit. I'll try to go through and I'll pick one day to be cool. And I'll go through and it'll be 200 of these motherfuckers. And I'll try to say, thanks, cool, appreciate it. Thank you.
Advice is put out blanket messages from your outbound shit. So I say, I see all your comments and your requests. I love you all. Like, your life is valuable. Like, blanket everybody, hey, because you know that. What I'm saying? Because then they'll see.
The motherfucker sent me a disturbing message the other day, and I was like, see, not you fucked it up for everybody else.
Yeah.
I was on the fifth message of the 99, and I was going to try to get to half of them, and you send the bullshit. Yeah. So now everybody gets
it. And by the way, final note on it, if you want to answer all the people, do it. Like, don't let me talk you out of it. That's amazing.
No, but
you're a better man than I am.
I like what you're saying, because what it comes down to is, I look at it and I can't see the 99 plus. Like, if I see my text message, I gotta check it. Damn. I gotta read it. I'm OCD. Zero time to look at any alerts.
I feel that.
I can't see it. It drives me. It freaks me out.
Look at this number. Right,
what's the number? Mike's text.
Oh my god.
On my email inbox.
If I showed you my phone, I have like only thing I have there is
90,000.
Hey, the only
90,768.
The only thing I have there is a fucking update. Because I try to protest the update as long as I can.
Oh, yo, see, that's fucking
annoying. I feel like
annoying.
It's gonna fuck my contacts up. Yeah, and they're gonna add some new shit and mess my phone up.
That's annoying.
So that's
to
the
me.
Only alert I like, man. Right.
Yo, last question. I mean, we said this. You do a lot of shit. Yeah. You, I mean, rapper, actor, fighter,
acting is the hardest.
A host. Yeah, and I saw, bro, and you're good.
Yeah,
you're
I try to work hard. That takes the most work.
Acting.
Yeah.
You go to a coach, I'm sure.
Yeah, I go to Warner Laughlin right there on. And not in regular Hollywood, actually.
So
I've been going there for like a year or so.
The question is, do you ever fear that you're doing too much? Or is that just the kind of person you are? You want to have your
hands? You know what's funny is the name of my album is Chaos Theory. And Chaos Theory is that you actually dwell better in chaos. So like when it's shit going crazy and baby mama drama and fucking a fight coming
that's
up
tight
and
as fuck,
music,
dude.
I can just sit in there and that's what I do the best. I don't know how and why. And I'm actually like, I try to alleviate some drama and stress from my life and cut some people and do what I need to do. But it started to freak me out because I'm like, damn, I fought 5 world title fights. If I tell you guys the amount of bullshit and drama and stuff that I had on my plate when I walked in that octagon, you'd be like, you should have got your ass. There's no way you've been in midst. But there's something about when they lock it, nothing matter. And that's my only chance to get the fuck away from everybody.
Yep.
And now I can just do what I do. So I've embraced it my last 2 training camps. And I recognize it's me. It's who I am. So I do better under chaos. And when it comes to fighting, of course, I'm not going to be doing a million movies, going on readings and auditioning and stuff like that, because now that's just being, you know, disrespectful to my opponent. And that's just being not very humble and you're going to get your ass whooped. So I'm not dumb, but also I'm not going to not go to the recording studio. And my last fight against Till, I stopped going to the studio until the fight was over with. I'm like, why am I doing this? This is my way to release. This is my outlet. This is, you know, something I'm passionate about outside of fighting and something I love fucking doing. Like I made a hit the other day and I'm like, I'm in Hawaii. I'm in Milwaukee. It's -50 wind chill. It's cold as fuck. Like,
damn.
People throwing hot water out the window and it's turning to dust.
Yeah,
no bullshit.
Yeah.
So, but I go in the studio and I got this track and you feel like you're in a fucking Bay Area. You feel like you're in Hawaii.
Tight,
it's drop
tight.
Top. You had a pool party. Yeah. And that's just what music can do for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Big facts. Well, yo, keep all the shit up, dude. I'm a fucking fan. I'm a big believer.
Sure,
I'm going to try to come out to the fight. And if so, possibly see you there.
Boom, boom.
Maybe go throw down some money in Vegas. Who knows?
Yeah,
who
turn knows? Up at Chateau afterwards, too.
Let's go. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, gotta play after that.
Tyron Woodley. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us in this episode of Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button. See you guys next time.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.